You know, sadly, the anti-fluoride side know how weak their case is. They clearly don't have a scientific leg to stand on, and they've resorted to very objectionable tactics. Tactics of intimidation, fear-mongering, verbal abuse, bullying, and tabloid journalism to make their case. Now, my concern tonight is that our City of London could be embarrassed, depending on how council votes.
Well, it's very, very clear this morning from that comment that Dr. Peter Fendrick and friends who are trying to keep fluoride in our water are very, very worried about losing their case. I mean, the doctor's voice was shaking. He is nervous. He's making rather outlandish statements, which I'm sure he's not used to making as a dentist. But hey, we wanted a friendly debate. We're having a friendly debate. We have one last kick at the can, London, Ontario, to get fluoride out of the water. Actually, that's not true. If we should lose tonight, believe me, this battle is far from over. But we have a bombshell to share with you this morning. A last-minute development, which if the argument to keep fluoride in the water has not already been totally contaminated, this one will certainly do it. I am joined this morning by Pam Kalina. We're going to go to Calgary. We're going to go to Ireland. We're going to have a number of guests on to talk about why we need to get fluoride out of the water. But Pam, we've just been looking over this letter from Jerry Cooper, and Jerry Cooper is going to join us in just a moment. He is an engineer. He is a public policy advisor for People for Safe Drinking Water, a group which has been instrumental in getting fluoride out of the water in a number of other cities.
That's right. We have Mr. Jerry Cooper on the line with us right now, and he sent a letter to Mr. Tim Dobie, who's the city manager, basically saying that he's not qualified to have been one of the main signer of this particular report that was just tabled.
Well, let's just talk about Tim Dobie. He is a chief engineer who wrote and signed this report, which went to Mayor Fontana. And it turns out he's not at all qualified to write that letter. Jerry Cooper joins us now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good. Can you tell us when you sent this letter and what it says?
Okay, well, I sent it, I think it was on Sunday, this past Sunday. And by the way, I wrote it to the city manager, who's Mr. Dobis. And it concerns John Bram, who's the chief engineer in the city. So I just wanted to get titles and roles right here.
Okay, so John Bram is the chief engineer.
Yes, and he signed the staff report, but rather than the medical officer of health. He has a PEng certification from PEO, and he's clearly not licensed to advise on medical or dental aspects, which form the bulk of this report.
In other words, he may be a fine engineer, and he may be a fine chief engineer, but he knows squat about dental care.
Well, and even if he knew a little, he is not the professional that council should be turning to for advice on medical and dental matters.
Should he be a toxicologist, an epidemiologist? What should he be?
Well, as I say, you find there are a number of sciences involved in this, but the overall set of recommendations and the rationale for it all have to do with tooth decay, right, and dental fluorosis in the main. And every other community I've been involved in where reports have been presented to the council have come over the signature of the medical officer of health as this senior local public health official.
Let me just read a portion of your letter. This is a letter to Mr. Dobie, who is a senior aide to Mayor Fontana. Hello, Mr. Dobie. I have read with considerable concern the report from the chief engineer entitled Drinking Water Fluoridation in London, which was tabled at the April 23rd, 2012 meeting at the Civic Works Committee. All the whereas clauses and recommendations pertain to a public health matter which intrinsically pertains to a combination of dental and medical sciences issues. I believe the chief engineer in approving the recommendation is acting well beyond the scope and limits of his license as a professional engineer. Jerry, that's a pretty serious accusation.
Yes, it gets right to the heart of the licensing and regulatory process of PEO, and it also impinges upon the regulators of the dental and medical profession.
Okay.
So he's managed to cross paths or cross arrows, swords with three different regulatory agencies in the province, and he just should not have allowed himself to get into that kind of a position.
And
it puts in doubt the validity of any decision coming out of council based on this report, in my view.
Okay, Pam, who has this letter now?
Well, the entire city council has received this, and so they're very aware of Jerry's complaint. And I think that Joe Fontana needs to address Jerry's complaint, and it should be something that perhaps they should bring up and discuss tonight at the meeting.
Jerry, you're in a nutshell saying that the report that the City Hall has been working with just is not legitimate because it is signed by the chief engineer, who may be a great chief engineer, but is not qualified to make a recommendation on an issue like fluoride in the water.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, another thing you've done is you've basically dissected this report, this 50-page report, and you've come up with rebuttals to several comments within the report. Perhaps you could highlight a few of these.
Well, the one that I want to call particular attention to this morning for your listeners is that there are three so-called models of alternate delivery of fluoride in the report. And I'm looking at Model 3, which has a price tag of about $3.7 million a year, which would wind up sending toothpaste and toothbrush kits to every resident of London. And I think that's sure to annoy many voters who can afford to buy their own toothpaste and toothbrushes. They would see this as a waste. There is another option to this that I would just like to trace out for you. Target the 20% of the population in London who do not have access to professional dentists because they are too poor. Target them via food banks and recreation centers and other public places. That's where the toothbrushes and toothpaste should be available to them. The heck with this mail-out campaign, frankly. It's too expensive. Some of these people, i.e. the homeless, won't be reached anyway, but they will probably wind up at a food bank. So the distribution proposal here is wonky. It would cost about $750,000 a year, I estimate, rather than $3.7 million. That would be shared 75% by the province, 25% by the city, which would then have a cost of about $187,000 per year. It is far more effective, it is more efficient, it is targeted tightly on the group that needs the help, and at the same time, through these distribution points, these people can also receive counseling on diet, which is very important, i.e. less sugar, dental hygiene. In addition to the toothbrush, you need flossing, you need other provisions. And you need guidance and referral to the two programs that are available for the treatment of emergency dental care for our children. That's the Senate program, Children in Need of Treatment, and the Healthy Smiles program, which Ontario just recently introduced. So it is a far more effective way. It is a far more personal way. You don't have public health officials hiding behind the water department saying, this is all we need to do here, folks. It isn't. They need to do much more than that. And it brings these people into contact with the professional dentist in the community more effectively than would otherwise be the case. So I suggest that the city take a very careful look at so-called Model 4 here that I'm proposing. It's the way it's done in other communities that don't fluoridate their water.
So in a nutshell, you're saying that the infrastructure is in place already.
Yes.
So that people, the poor people, can get good dental treatment.
And it's the infrastructure they're more familiar with because they draw on it daily, right, for support.
Well, let's just be clear here. As they vote tonight, is it a matter of just keeping the fluoride in the water or ditching it, or could they vote for some of these other models like fluoridating the water in our schools?
I am one who would say stop fluoridating entirely and put that money into something like Model 4. It's a far more effective way to try to deal with the tooth decay problem among the disadvantaged.
And you have spelled this out in black and white to the city councillors in your report, which I believe is submitted in the meeting tonight, correct?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Okay, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go to Calgary and hook up with Dr. Bob Dixon, who has quite a story about how they got the fluoride out of the water in Calgary. We'll be back with that in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 9:52. What strikes me about some of the attitudes in London towards fluoride, especially by health officials, is sheer arrogance. We don't care what they do in Waterloo. We don't care what they do in Moncton. We don't care what they do in Calgary because we know better. Well, we're going to go to Calgary now and hook up with Dr. Bob Dixon, who has made it a personal crusade getting fluoride out of the water. Dr. Dixon, appreciate you joining us at this early hour in Calgary.
My pleasure, Andy.
Dr. Dixon, just tell us a little bit about the battle that you've been waging there in Calgary, a successful battle to get fluoride out of the water, and then we'll talk about why.
Well, actually, back in the 90s, I was a proponent of fluoridation, and then I was challenged after the vote we had in 1998 to actually look at the literature, which I did, and I was abhorred by what I found, and I changed my mind. And so since then, Dr. Jim Beck and I have been co-leading the anti-fluoride campaign here in Calgary and in other parts of Alberta and across the country as well. And it took us, about 12 years to get it out of Calgary. In May 19th of last year, they turned off the fluoride taps here in Calgary.
And you recently had another victory in Alberta. Okotoks also just voted out fluoride.
Yes, we did. That was just last week, Pam, a week ago Monday. And they voted 6-1, actually, to take fluoride out of the water in Okotoks.
And what were their what caught the attention of the councillors? Why did they have such an overwhelming victory there?
Well, there's so many things. One thing is that the science is totally uncertain about fluoridation, and there's lots and lots of new information coming out against fluoridation. There's hundreds and hundreds of peer-reviewed articles out there now in good medical journals, and there's so many things that fluoride affects, right from the brain right down to through to the bones and the kidneys and the thyroid gland. So there's certainly a lot of fear out there about the harm that fluoride causes. And there's also the issue of ethics and morality of it.
Yes.
In Calgary, the vote was last year in May. Has that now resolved the issue? Is everybody now on board?
No. Certainly the powers that be are certainly working behind the scenes to undermine things that we've done, but certainly the council is still on board here. They voted 12-3 in favor and of taking out water fluoridation. So the council is behind us, and many, many people in the community are. And we have many, many dentists here as well that are against fluoridation. A lot of them will not even allow fluoridation across their doorstep, even though it is proven to work topically. Not ingested.
Now, last night you sent a letter out, an email out to all the city councillors. Can you explain some of the issues you raised in this email?
Yeah, a lot of it is to do with the ethics and morality of it. As Brian Pincott, one of the prominent councillors here in the city of Calgary, said, he said it's not within the realm of council to know or be scientists, but it's completely within the realm of council to make decisions based on ethics and morality. So I pointed that out to the council in London as well. Most councillors are not scientists. They're not meant to be. They don't have to be. But they can certainly make decisions on the ethics of mass medicating a population without control of dose or dosage and without informed consent.
Now, this letter, Pam mentioned one of the councillors. People should know this is London City Councillors that you sent this letter to last night.
That's right. I'm looking at it right now. He sent it to Joe Fontana, Sandy White, everybody. They all received this email. And you talk about Dr. Heidi Limebach, whom you've been following his work for many years, and he was one of the 12 scientists who served on the U.S. National Academy of Sciences panel that issued a report in 2006 entitled Fluoride in Drinking Water, a Scientific Review of the EPA's Standards. Now, the NAS, the National Academy of Sciences, is known as the Supreme Court of Science. Now, can you summarize some of the findings that Dr. Limebach pointed out?
Well, that'd be pretty hard to do, Pam, because it's a 506-page document, and it is quite damning of fluoridation, actually. So this is a great opportunity, I think, to raise the educational levels of the general public and of our professionals. If they were to read that 560-page document, like Dr. Beck and I have, they would certainly see that there is many problems to do with water fluoridation.
Let me just jump in, Dr. Dixon, because we are coming up to the top of the hour. I think just as important as that thick book, which nobody's going to rush out and read at this late stage, is who is Dr. Heidi Limebach? Because we constantly on this show get calls from people who say, I'm very intrigued by what you're saying, but give me a dentist. Give me a top dentist who thinks we should ditch fluoride. Who is this dentist who is saying we should ditch fluoride?
Okay, well, just to put that in context, Dr. Peter Cooney is the head dentist for Health Canada, And Dr. Peter Cooney says things like, oh, there's nobody growing horns in your community, so obviously fluoridation is okay. He also says he could drink 15 liters of fluoridated water for 10 years and not have any side effects. That is abjectly false. Dr. Hardy Lineback is the most knowledgeable dentist in Canada, probably in the world. He's done more research than anybody else. He's the head of preventative dentistry at the University of Toronto. And he, like me, in 1998, started looking at the information more closely, and he came to the conclusion that fluoride is a big fraud and that it should not be in the water at all, that we're mass medicating with one of the most toxic elements in the world. And so he's been, since 1998, one of the most avid anti-fluoridationists in Canada.
So here's the top dentist in Canada slamming fluoride in our water. Folks, let's keep it really simple. There he is.
A lot of research on this as well. Mm-hmm. Just like Dr. John Colquhoun, who is the head of dentistry in New Zealand, until he actually did a world tour and found out how poor the information on fluoridation was and how harmful it could be.
Doctor, I'm going to get a lot of trouble here if I don't break for news. Just save that thought. But again, folks, we're going to leave that with you as we break for news here. Not only has Calgary voted to get fluoride out of the water, not only has Okotoks, Alberta, voted to get fluoride out of the water, the top dentist in all of Canada, Dr. Hardy Lineback, Google him. Look it up for yourself. He slams fluoride. We'll be back with more in just a moment as we approach this crucial vote tonight at London City Hall in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You know, sadly, the anti-fluoride side know how weak their case is. They clearly don't have a scientific leg to stand on, and they've resorted to very objectionable tactics. Tactics of intimidation, fear-mongering, verbal abuse, bullying, and tabloid journalism to make their case. Now, my concern tonight is that our city of London could be embarrassed, depending on how council votes.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing if we voted to put fluoride out of our water like they did in Calgary and Waterloo and Moncton and LaSalle and Okotoks? And wouldn't it be embarrassing to make the decision that so many other cities have made, that fluoride comes from the manufacture of fertilizer and has no place in our drinking water? Yeah, folks, I think the pro-fluoride group is getting a little timid, a little afraid they're going to lose tonight. We are in conversation this morning, Pam Colleen, Andy Udman, along with Dr. Bob Dixon, all the way from Calgary, Alberta. Doctor, I don't know if that comment burned a hole in your ear or not. Are you still okay after hearing that comment from a local dentist?
Well, we get to hear that a lot, Andy, and I'd just like to address that briefly, if I could. Here's some of the people that are ill-informed and that don't have a leg to stand on. Dr. Arvid Carlson won a Nobel Prize for Medicine. He said that water fluoridation is the biggest fraud ever propagated against society. There's over 7,000 scientists from the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, in the States that have sent a letter to Congress asking them for a moratorium on water fluoridation. There's over 4,000 professionals worldwide who have signed a document to end water fluoridation. A past president of the American Medical Association, which is a very conservative body, said that we're just not supportive of water fluoridation and we shouldn't be using the water to deliver medications.
And if they missed it just before the top of the hour, Canada's top dentist, Dr. Hardy Lineback at the University of Toronto, give us 30 seconds on his stance.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Hardy Lineback changed his mind in 1998 after reviewing the literature thoroughly, and he changed from a proponent of water fluoridation to one of the most avid anti-fluoridationists in Canada. And he's done research for years and years that show the harms of water fluoridation.
Dr. Dixon, what we've been trying to get in London is a debate, an open debate, somebody to debate the likes of Dr. Paul Connett. We don't have that, but if you could handle 20 seconds of Dr. Peter Fendrick here in London, could I play you 1 minute of a conversation that we had with him this morning, and then you can address what he has to say. Ryan, do we have that? Here we go.
Look, fluoride's been in our water for 45 years. It's been proven to be effective. It's safe. Studies show it. I can only hope that our elected officials will not allow themselves to be tyrannized by a vocal minority and that they will make decisions that are knowledge-based and not fear-based.
And you have scientific proof?
It's overwhelming, Steve.
And you have the research?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, our city councilors need to understand that if they choose to take fluoride out of our water, they will have most compromised the health of people who may not have access to regular dental care, like the elderly, the working poor, children, people with disabilities, vulnerable people in our society. You know, I'm proud of our local dental society and the Ontario Dental Association, who have worked in harmony with our local and provincial governments to champion the cause for the underprivileged in our society. The evidence is very clear on it, and studies from not just Canada but all over the world have come up with the same conclusions.
Dr. Dixon, out there in Calgary, you've been battling this war for years and years, and you were a proponent of fluoride for so many years. You had an epiphany. How do you respond to what you just heard from our esteemed colleague here in London, Dr. Peter Fendrick?
Fortunately, I only have a couple of minutes to refute all that. It'd take a lot longer, really. One thing you have to look at, he says, worldwide. Well, there's only six countries in the world that fluoridate, Andy, and they're all white, Caucasian, wealthy countries. We're not looking at the literature that's coming out of all the other countries in the world. Europe, for instance, is 98% not fluoridated. Their teeth are as good as ours. British Columbia, here in Canada, 95% not fluoridated. Again, their dental health is as good as ours. Quebec, 94% not fluoridated. So I have in front of me here a graph from the World Health Organization going from the 50s up to 2005, showing the 14 major unfluoridated countries and the top four fluoridated countries. And guess what? The graph looks exactly the same. There's a huge decrease in caries or dental cavities in every single country, fluoridated or not. So that graph right there should stop water fluoridation. That means that it's not water fluoridation that's causing this large decrease in cavities we've had over the last 50 or 60 years. It is better dental care. It is better access to toothpastes and to topical fluoridation. It's better diet. It's better knowledge out there. It's education. It's all those things. It is not water fluoridation that's affecting this.
Now, I want to talk about the research, the recent research. Now, when we look at issues like dioxin and asbestos, originally, you know, people basically ignored any the idea that these items were toxic. And then more and more and more research was published basically proving that these were very toxic substances. Now, in recent research history, of course, there's more research showing the toxicity of fluoride. And it seems to me that Health Canada and the pro-fluoridationists in general are not acknowledging this very, very modern-day research.
And I fail to understand why that is so, Pam. There's lots of good research out there. There are hundreds and hundreds of papers. And some of the newest, there's 25 papers now showing the harm that water fluoridation or fluoride does to the brains of children in particular. And those are mainly out of China. Canada's not looking at those papers. Well, why not? We're not quite sure. There's so many cases of failures that we've had in the medical community, and we're very reticent to admit when we're wrong, and this is one of those cases. There's been so many like that. Doctors promoted smoking back in the 30s and 40s. We allowed lead in gasoline for decades. Thalidomide, hormone replacement therapy, Vioxx, peptic ulcer disease. There's so many cases where we've been wrong. We're wrong again, folks. So let's use this as an opportunity to raise our educational levels and look at these things, to revisit these topics in the light of the new research from around the world.
Doctor, let's make it simple. We have 90 seconds left. Can you direct your comments directly to our city councilors who are going to vote tonight whether to ditch fluoride from our water and make the case why they absolutely need to get rid of this poison?
We are using an industrial product that's scrubbed out of the fertilizer stacks in the States that's been banned from our air, streams, rivers, lakes, oceans, and land. It's been banned from everywhere, and we are putting that into our water and mass medicating people without control of dose or dosage and without their informed consent. This is highly unethical. It is unnecessary, and the literature out there, if you look at it worldwide, shows that fluoridation is not effective. Fluoride works topically, not ingested. So stop mass medicating our people. Stop mass medicating your constituents in London, and get on with doing proper dental care there, and doing education, and getting to the poorest. And another thing I'd like to say, to refute the fellow you had on previously, the dentist, there's lots of good studies out there that show that fluoridation is not effective for the poorest. That is a myth.
Wow. A lot for our counselors to think about.
Imagine the poor people out there, these women who shouldn't be using fluoridated water, Andy, to make their baby formula. And what do they have to do? They have to go out and buy bottled water. And these are the poor. So it's not, it's discriminating, actually. It's a handicap for the poor people to have fluoridated water because these women should not be making their baby formulas using city water.
Doctor, if we vote tonight, heaven help us, to keep fluoride in our water, would you advise that we start an immediate campaign in London with mothers of small children to keep them safe from fluoridated water? Is that where we would start?
That's the very least you can do. That educational component should have been out there a long time ago, and that's been ignored by our health authorities here in Canada. It's been ignored by Health Canada and by the medical officers of health from across the country. And that's even agreed to by the American Dental Association and the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the States. They all say that we should not be putting water that's fluoridated into our baby formulas. It's harmful for our babies.
And how do you feel as a doctor that our health unit in London, the Middlesex London Health Unit, Dr. Graham Pollitt and Dr. Bryna Warshawski, have personally put their names on fluoride and said, folks, we need to keep it in the water? How do you as a doctor react to colleagues doing that?
Well, if they're not going to read the NRC's 506-page book, they should read Dr. Jim Beck and Dr. Paul Conant's new book called The Case Against Fluoride. And a lot of the public should read that, too. It's quite an easy read, and it is very informative, has lots and lots of science in it. So, again, that's the opportunity to revisit this topic in the light of new research.
And in Calgary, have they gotten over the shame, as Dr. Peter Frederick suggests, that we would feel shame in London if we ditch fluoride? Have they gotten over the shame in Calgary, Alberta, of deciding to remove fluoride?
Well, I must admit there's a few dentists out there that are uneducated, and they are feeling shame. But most of us that have actually read the literature and have worked on this for years and years are very proud that City Council has made a decision that is absolutely for the health of their population.
Dr. Dixon, I can't thank you enough for weighing in at this very last minute and for sending your letter to city councilors. Let's hope they make a very wise decision tonight.
Best of luck, and let's take care of our people.
Well, we'll let you know what happens. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Dixon. Yes.
Okay, short break. When we come back, we want to talk to someone who is both a mom and an expert on this decision. Someone who feels very strongly about this has sent a letter to London City Hall. She lives in Ingersoll. Heather Gingrich will join us in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290, CJBK. One last segment here on fluoride. Canada's top dentist, Dr. Hardy Lineback, University of Toronto. Please, 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 folks, if you're still undecided about fluoride, Google him. Dr. Hardy Lineback, top dentist in the country, says get fluoride out of the water. And I want to bring in with Pam Killeen, someone I was so impressed with when she was in the studio recently. She is young, she is smart, she is savvy, she is studying for her PhD at the University of Guelph. Heather Gingrich joins us this morning for one final kick at the can. Heather, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
And I understand you've been sending a message to City Council at the last minute.
I did. I thought, you know what? Let's use technology. And I just sent them the original references to, you know, the Health Canada, the pages 10 and 95 in the Health Canada Review that talk about children, formula-fed infants being most at risk of, overdosing with fluoride. I also sent them the references, the links to the National Academy of Science saying that, you know, we're so far over for formula-fed infants, children under 6 months, and also the link for the Codex Alimentarius, which is the international gold standard in Geneva. It's a group of nutritionists who get together, and they unequivocally said fluoride should not be added to infant formula. So I just sent that, you know, a links directly to the counselors so that they don't have to take my word for it and they don't have to take their medical officer's word for it, because I know, you know, like the 104-page Health Canada report, it's long and they've got a lot to read and a lot of other things to do, and it's somewhere between an Archie comic and War and Peace.
Heather, let me just jump in here. You should know the state of mind of our city councilors today. They're having a meeting today at which they're basically blowing up the council structure. They have so much on their mind.
Yep.
The new committee system doesn't work. It's an absolute crisis. We've told them that so many times. So they're meeting today to talk about that. So we need to make it really simple.
Really simple. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word. Don't take anybody's word.
Okay, 2 minutes to London City Councilors directly. We're interviewing one of them in a couple of minutes, and we'll be asking him, we'll be giving him a little test, Bud Polehill. 2 minutes on why they should vote on the issue tonight of fluoride, on getting it out of the water.
Well, number one, besides we know that the fact that, you know, Health Canada and all these other agencies have said, wow, in formula-fed infants, problem, is, you know, they're overdosed. If you have a fluoridated water supply, you're overdosing them because there's more than enough fluoride just in the infant formula itself. And they can't take it out. The infant formula industry can't take it out, so you're stuck with it. So for heaven's sakes, don't be adding more, unless you want to overdose them. And the other thing is like basic medicine dose people. Who cares about the concentration? If you are giving it to individuals with different body weights, they're going to be getting a completely different dose, and you can't control it. I mean, that's just straight up, like, I don't know how you got out of medical school without understanding that one.
Now, Heather, their argument, though, is that when you add this substance, hydrofluorosilicic acid, to the water, that it dissociates.
Yeah, I don't care. You're still giving them a dose. It's an uncontrolled dose of whatever you're giving them. It doesn't really matter. The dissociation is really a red herring. Because number one, it's never been proven in over 10 years of trying using real water. But you shouldn't really care about that too much in London. You should only care about what's in your water.
Heather, here's a very simple point that Pam made a few minutes ago, and I thought it was an excellent point we've made many, many times. Our city councilors may not have graduated from medical school, but they should hopefully know a thing or two about ethics.
Yes.
Give me a few seconds, because we're almost out of time, on the ethics of mass medicating people as we are doing with this offshoot of the fertilizer industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to say, you know, it's for the low-income people. So the high-income people should just be able to, you know, get it out of their water if they don't like it. But just because you're not, because you're low-income does not mean you're low-intelligence. And what country do we live in where we think it's okay for an elite, a highly educated elite, to make those kinds of decisions for those just because they're low income? Like, seriously, is this Canada?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Like
now, you're a medical geologist, and you understand the impact of fluoride also on the environment, and our city councilors don't seem to understand the importance of the overload of fluoride out in the environment, in the Great Lakes, for example. Can you just speak to them at that level for just a quick second?
Yeah, the number one easy, totally cheap thing that we could do to improve the health of the Great Lakes, because the Great Lakes are in serious, serious trouble, especially Lake Erie, where a lot of people get their source water from, is to stop artificially fluoridating. Because one of the other things that municipal water fluoridation does is it provides a smoke screen for all those industries that we're trying to crack down on and make them cleaner. Well, we can't do that if it's the municipality who's providing the cover. Because fluorides in the environment are a huge, huge, huge problem. We've known that since the 1980s. But because the Ministry of Health has been bullying everybody.
Heather, we have just seconds left, so I have to be blunt here. If the vote tonight should be to retain fluoride in the water, heaven forbid, what should we as a community immediately begin to do? Who really needs protection from fluoride in the water? I'm thinking small children.
Pregnant women, small children, and just anybody with who's maybe nutritionally challenged, so doesn't have the best nutrition, so low income. New immigrants, because they're not going to be used to this kind of silliness in the water, and just basically anyone with kidney disease or any other immune challenge where they're already up against something.
Your 10-second message to our city councilors.
Basically, if you know nothing else, use the precautionary principle, which we didn't do back in the 1940s, 50s. We can do that now.
Okay. Heather, thank you so much. Pam, I'm going to make a couple of points for people who want it really, really simple. Europe. They're pretty smart and savvy people.
Mm-hmm.
98% fluoride free. Mm-hmm. British Columbia, 95% fluoride free. Quebec, 94% fluoride free. That's the one thing. And if you want to make it really simple too, Dr. Hardy Limeback, Canada's top dentist. Google him. See what he says. The final word goes to you.
I think if people are interested in the outcome, they should attend the city meeting tonight at around 7:30 is when fluoride should come up for discussion, and we should hear the results of the vote. So 7:30 tonight at City Hall.
And let's pray they make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. And if they keep it in, then we're just going to keep fighting. So
absolutely. And watch city watch other mm-hmm. city after city after city, Okotoks, Alberta, the very mm-hmm. latest in the last few days, to get fluoride out of the water. Perspective on this issue of fluoride in the water that you haven't heard. And it is scary. We'll be back with that in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 11:46, we make a very important decision at London City Hall tonight on fluoride in our water. And I know that there are so many people who are getting tired of the discussion because they're not convinced yet. Even Health Canada's spokesman, Dr. Peter Clooney, made a ridiculous comment. Well, I haven't seen people on the streets growing horns. Well, I want to give you a snapshot of the effect that fluoride can have on human health. And I'm going to go all the way to Ireland to get it. Declan Waugh is a consultant, a risk management consultant and environmental scientist. We have had dentists on the air. We have had authors. We have had scientists. We have had all kinds of advocates. We have had health councils on the air. All of them saying get fluoride out of the water. Mr. Waugh joins us now for his perspective. Mr. Waugh, appreciate you joining us all the way from Ireland.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing some math here. What time is it now in the afternoon in Ireland?
Just about 5 p.m.
Just about 5 p.m. Mr. Waugh, we have a very important decision to make at London City Hall tonight. I don't want to influence your arguments. You're in the risk management business. Let me ask you about the risk involved in having fluoride in drinking water as you have experienced it there in Ireland.
Well, first, Andy, I suppose I've just completed an exhaustive risk management assessment of the whole area of water fluoridation and looked at over 1,200 scientific, medical, environmental toxicology reports, as well as looking at the health statistics for Ireland, because Ireland is one of only two countries in the world that has a national legislative policy for water fluoridation, and they've been conducting what could be regarded as a medical experiment on the Irish people for the last 40 years. And the consequences of it are absolutely astonishing when you look at the stats for Ireland compared to any other country in the world. And I have absolutely no doubt, based on the research that I've reviewed, which is all peer-reviewed and has been examined independently by scientists and academics in order to be published in the first place, that fluoride has an association with these conditions. And I'll just give you a few for example.
What is the level, by the way, of fluoride in the water in Ireland compared to other countries?
It's now about 0.8 milligrams per liter. It was reduced 2 years ago, and it was reduced because of some health effects that they were looking at, which were to do with dental fluorosis, but they haven't looked at the wider context of how it's affecting the population at large. And as an example, here's one. Like, the global average for neurological disease in the world is 6.3% of the population, and the level of neurological disease in Ireland in comparison to that is 17.3%.
That is so shocking and so astounding. I'm going to ask you to give it to me one more time.
We have more than twice the global average of neurological disease in this country compared to any non-fluoridated country in the world. Now, that includes, like, there are over 750,000 people in this country of only 4.5 million people who have a neurological illness. And apart from that, we have twice the global average of osteoporosis. We have the highest level of childhood epilepsy. We have the highest level of cancers, of certain types of cancers that would be associated with the digestive tract, right? So that would include bladder cancer. It would include cancer of the kidneys, cancer of the liver. It would include cancer of the stomach, intestinal cancer. All of these also have an association with fluoride ingestion from drinking water.
How do you know there's any link at all between all these horrible diseases and the fluoride in your water?
Well, there was a study published just this summer in a neurology journal, a peer-reviewed journal in Spain. That journal said that fluoride can take up to 20 years to have its full effect in terms of toxicological effect in humans. And as far as they're concerned, the evidence clearly demonstrates that it is causing neurological disorders in the population, right? That's just one study alone, right? Apart from that, get away from neurological effects, right? The National Research Council of the United States of America, when they did their extensive study in 2006, they accepted the fact that 1% of the population may be hypersensitive to fluoride, right? Now, that would be about 4,000 people of the city of London, right? And the conditions that would be shown by those people who would have hypersensitivity to fluoride would include things like migraines, skin rashes, gastrointestinal upsets, arthritic-like pains, chronic fatigue, depression, nervousness, and respiratory difficulties. So if you vote for this to go into your water supply tomorrow, you have to accept the fact that you're exposing 1% of your population who are going to automatically have these symptoms if they don't have them already because your water is already being fluoridated. Now, that's only to deal with that 1% that will be hypersensitive to fluoride. You have to look at the issues of the World Health Organization have identified that calcium and magnesium are both critical from a cardiovascular and neurological and cancer point of view in humans. And fluoride has been identified to be an active compound that will actually seek out and prevent the metabolism of calcium and magnesium in the human body. I mean, it is absolutely astonishing that the research that is out there. And previously you spoke there about animal welfare. I mean, I've read a report from Cornell University, which is a top Ivy League university, number 4th in the world. Their Department of Biomedical Science, College of Veterinary Medicine, found that horses that were fed fluoridated water developed chronic fluoride poisoning that resulted in crippling skeletal cirrhosis that required them to be put down.
Europe, almost entirely free of added fluoride, correct? 96%, 98%?
There's only two places left. The Republic of Ireland, and we're hoping to have this policy reviewed based on all of the studies that have been out there, and including mine, which has gone into the World Health Organization and the Government of Ireland and the European Commission recently. But the only other region is a small section of the UK, which is about 10% of their population, and that's it. The last mainland European country to ban it was Switzerland in 2003. China stopped it in the 1980s because they found a link between fluoride and reduced intelligence in children. There's a link there that the NRC, the National Research Council, have found between diabetes, for instance. We have an explosion of diabetes in Ireland. Over 400,000 people have died or suffer from diabetes in Ireland. And they found that anybody who suffers from diabetes should not be drinking fluoridated water because they have reduced kidney functioning.
Declan, you went through some of the diseases and what the rates are compared to other countries. We have just 2 or 3 minutes left. I want to leave this with every citizen here of the city of London, Ontario. Every councillor is going to vote on this tonight. You have fluoride in the water, and you're saying there have been a disastrous results to people's health. Can you run down those comparisons one more time?
We have twice the global level of neurological disease. That includes diseases like dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, epilepsy. We have twice the level of osteoporosis compared to any other country that's non-fluoridated. We have the highest level of cardiovascular disease in the world. We have the highest level of one of the highest levels of diabetes in the world. We have and one of the highest levels of cancer in the world. And, it's just beyond belief. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it comes down to this for the councillors and for the citizens of London. Both the United States Academic National Research Council and the European Commission themselves, the two leading international organizations, have found that there has been no human health studies undertaken on the fluoride chemicals used for water fluoridation. And it is criminally negligent of any organization or any councillor who's supposed to be representing public interest to vote to put something like that into your drinking water supply.
Wow. We have 30 seconds left. It's yours to address our city councillors directly on their vote tonight.
30 seconds. I would leave it with this. there are no human health studies that have ever been undertaken to show that fluoride chemicals have been tested for human safety or environmental toxicology. And you cannot put a chemical into everybody's drinking water supply that has not been tested for safety. It is criminally negligent, and you will have to be liable for any illnesses that will result as a consequence of that, ultimately.
Declan Waugh, risk management consultant and environmental scientist, talking to us all the way from Ireland. Mr. Waugh, I can't thank you enough for having the last word, because this has been a battle that's been going on for months here. It's a raging debate. There are some people in our health unit who simply won't listen. They think they know better than Calgary and Waterloo and Moncton, New Brunswick and LaSalle and all of Europe, 96 to 98% now fluoride free. And now you're saying in Ireland, you have learned that putting fluoride in the water has disastrous results. Mr. Waugh, thank you. Across the pond, we thank you for your time.
Thank you. All the best. Bye.
Declan Waugh, risk management consultant and environmental scientist. We don't make this stuff up, folks. We go to the experts, and they're saying, get fluoride out of your water. You're paying a horrible price with your health. Well, we just pray that wisdom prevails tonight at City Hall, and we'll talk about it in the morning right here on London Today on News Talk 1290. CJBK.